Are you a homeschooler and a military spouse? Homeschooling can be tough and military life challenging. The Military Homeschool Podcast is the perfect tool to add to your arsenal as you navigate life as a military homeschooler. Join Crystal and her guests each week as they bring relevant information to equip you, stories to encourage you, and content to inspire you. You don't have to go it alone. Tune in to the Military Homeschool Podcast and be energized in your military homeschooling journey. You're listening to History for Christian Teens, the podcast where we examine historical people, places, and events through the lens of the Bible, drawing meaningful lessons that we can apply to our own lives as believers. This podcast is designed for middle and high school age students, but mom and dad and everyone else, you're invited to listen in too. This broadcast is brought to you by the Ultimate Homeschool Podcast Network. Welcome back to the History for Christian Teens podcast. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Kevin Niehoff. Thank you for listening in. We are taking a brief intermission from our study of historical figures from the Old Testament. This week, we are examining a major biblical event and how it reverberated throughout history and is even now the fundamental legal code of Western civilization and the common law of the United States. Of course, we are talking about the Ten Commandments.
According to some Bible scholars, it's thought that sometime around 3 months after God's people left Egypt is when the Ten Commandments were written by God upon two tablets of stone and given to Moses on Mount Sinai. The record of the Ten Commandments can be found in Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17, and Deuteronomy 5, verses 6 through 21.
Reading from Exodus chapter 20, these are the Ten Commandments given by God. Starting in verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments.
Just a quick note here. Here the Lord is saying that we should not place anything or anyone above him. Have you set up an idol in your life? An idol is anyone or anything that gets more of your time, attention, and heart than God. So in practical terms, this could be social media, school grades, friends, sports heroes, a boyfriend or girlfriend, gaming, and so on. As the Bible says in Matthew 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Reading on in Exodus 20, starting with verse 7, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord your God will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor.
And again, a quick note, another way of phrasing this is you shall not lie. All right, going on with verse 17 that says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Here, this means that you should not be envious or jealous of anything or anyone else. Be thankful for the blessings in your life and be content with that rather than wanting what someone else has. The modern day version of this commandment might say also, you shall not be envious of your classmate's grades or boyfriend. You shall not be jealous of your friend's car or sibling's new phone. So what is the purpose of the Ten Commandments other than giving the Israelites rules to live by now that they were no longer under the jurisdiction of their Egyptian masters?
Well, by definition, the Ten Commandments are a set of biblical principles relating to ethics and worship that play a fundamental role in Judaism and Christianity. The Ten Commandments were given to us not as a set of rules to chain us, for which we'll be horribly punished if we break them, but for our own good, for our protection. Additionally, the Ten Commandments reveal to us our need for a Savior because of our inability to adhere perfectly to the law. It shows us our sin, and that without Jesus Christ, we cannot, in and of ourselves, obtain salvation apart from Christ.
Let's explore now some historical perspectives about the Ten Commandments outside of the biblical account. We read in the article on godstenlaws.com a historical perspective of the Ten Commandments, quote, "The historical context of the Ten Commandments provides a very important foundation for the purpose of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commands, or Decalogue, name given by the Greeks, was also referred to as the Tables of Testimony because they were a testimony to the world of the covenant of God made with Israel. From the very first sin, God designed a plan to restore mankind to relationship and fellowship with himself. This plan given to Israel was called a covenant. The covenant was originally given to Israel and in turn was to be shared with the whole world."
Reading further, it says, "God established a spoken and written Ten Commandments, set of obligation and responsibilities the people must obey in order to demonstrate their devotion to God and separation from sin. It was through these laws that Israel could learn the character of God and the dangers of sin. God chose Israel to be the messengers of God's love for all mankind through his covenant. The Ten Commandments were a key element of the covenant God made with Israel." End quote. To further demonstrate that the Ten Commandments are far from just an outdated set of ancient laws, in fact, did you know that in the Supreme Court building just east of the Capitol of the United States in Washington, D.C., the Ten Commandments are hung high above the seat of the Chief Justice? How awesome is that?
An article published by Cambridge University Press titled, "The Fount of Everything Just and Right, the Ten Commandments as a Source of American Law," explains its significance to modern Western civilization. Quote, "It is axiomatic that many of the principles contained in the Ten Commandments are fundamental to the Western legal tradition. Prohibitions on murder, theft, and perjury are found in nearly every legal code. Notions of respect for one's parents and admonitions against adultery are also implicit, if not explicit, in the quasi-legal realm of normative rules that order many societies. Few people, if any, would dispute that the Ten Commandments and its parallels from other ancient cultures, as well as other directives contained in the Pentateuch of the Hebrew and Christian scriptures, inform our notions of right and wrong, and as such have influenced the development of Western law of which the American legal system is part." End quote.
Reading now from the Impact of Ten Commandments on American Life essay, published on ivypanda.com, which also cites the work of David Barton, founder of Wall Builders, in The Ten Commandments, a part of America's legal system for almost 400 years. Quote, "The impact of Ten Commandments has manifested in the contemporary lives of American citizens, especially in the legal system formation. Historically, the Ten Commandments have been integrated in the American civil law. The first commandment has been included in the Virginia colony in 1610, Massachusetts legal code 1641, and Connecticut law code 1642. The third commandment on honoring God's name, the civil law required to combat blasphemy apparent in Virginia law 1610, Connecticut law 1639 and 1642, Massachusetts, 1641, New Hampshire, 1680, South Carolina, 1695, and Pennsylvania, 1682, the year 1700, and 1741.
The essay goes on to add to the list. In criminal law, the sixth command, which forbade killing, has dictated the criminal justice system in the U.S. apparent in Connecticut laws 1642 and New Hampshire laws 1680. The murder laws have been traced to the Ten Commandments and have existed in American society even to date. The Eighth Commandment, that forbids stealing, has seen laws regarding theft to be drafted. For example, Supreme Appeals Court in West Virginia, 1904, and the Court of California, 1940, and on the command of bearing false witness laws, such as Connecticut law, 1642, Massachusetts in 1641, Supreme Court of Mississippi, 1988, were drafted. This is historical evidence on the incorporation of the Decalogue within the American civil law, and therefore it ought to be displayed as an influential historical document, end quote.
And this is just a partial listing from the essay of all the American laws listed to have been influenced by the Ten Commandments. So as we begin to wrap things up for this episode, what does the New Testament have to say about the Ten Commandments and its place in our lives as believers today?
Reading from Hebrews 10, 1 through 4, the law is only a shadow of good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never be the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year. Make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, they would not have stopped being offered. For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Then skipping to verses 8 through 10, which say, first he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law. Then he said, here I am, I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
And finally, verses 15 through 18 read, the Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my law in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. I think that pretty much says it all.
I agree. Listeners, we hope you enjoyed our closer look at the Ten Commandments and their significance in history and Western law. Be sure to join us next week when we learn about a great military leader who trusted God in everything and conquered a prominent city through an unorthodox battle plan.
Links to the articles we mentioned today can be found in our show notes at historyforchristianteens.com. If you have questions, comments, or are in need of prayer, Kevin and I would love to hear from you. Drop us a line by emailing historyforchristianteens@gmail.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Instagram using the handle @historyforchristianteens. Have a blessed week. Thanks for listening in today. If you like this podcast, please be sure to subscribe and give us a star rating on your favorite podcast app. You can follow us on Facebook too. Links to this and all the other resources mentioned during the podcast today can be found in our show notes at historyforchristianteens.com. We hope you'll join us again next week for another thought-provoking and insightful lesson in History for Christian Teens.